This is what Sachinandan's Swami, who says he doesn't speak English well because he's German. He says this is the wheelbarrow session of the Japa retreat. The fact that he knows that idiom tells me he speaks English very well. You know what a wheelbarrow is? People that they do their own landscaping and things like that. They put all their tools and this and that in has handles and a front wheel and zoom, zoom, the wheelbarrow. So this is, put stuff in the wheelbarrow and take it home with you. That's the idea. To use this session wisely, let us not just do, here's another English idiom, catechism. You know what catechism means? Within the Catholic Church, there's catechism. You know, they just recite, these are our beliefs, boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. Catechism. Very mechanical. So let us not use this time as reciting our catechism, the things that we already know. But review nonetheless is needed. I'm sure we'll hear in the sharing session that will follow. It's far more interesting than what I'm going to be doing the next half hour. But we'll hear different expressions of devotees who, through a certain accessing something, then something happened. So there was some experience of deepening relationship with the Holy Name. So each one of the things, I'm just going to put headings and go down, but each one of these things can be very, very beneficial to go to another level of chanting. So I'll start with sacred space. We use this term during the earlier part. Personally, I felt this was very, very beneficial, helpful for me. Sacred space, both outside and inside, that the place where you sit to chant should be clean and regularly clean, and again made clean and clean, just very, very, because a place that's clean is inviting. You feel good in that clean place. At least the person in the mode of goodness feels good in a clean place. And that it's sacred. So it's nice if where you chant every day, you honor that place. You treat the place with sanctity and sacredness. And that's where you sit to chant or do your chanting. And then sacred space, make the inside a sacred space and resonate the outside and the inside so that it's inviting. Cheta Dharpana Marjanam, it's inviting the Krishna to come because you've made the heart clean. And if there's not a sense of Krishna, if there is a sense that Krishna is not entering, then make the heart clean. make it continue to make the situation inviting. And when you're in that sacred space, to chant in a sustained, happy way, it's very easy. It's simple, but it's important to culture or cultivate to go further and further. So then, another heading, alignment. I thought you were going to go get the alignment chart. No, it's okay. We recall the alignment chart. So one can sit properly. And I was just hearing Prabhupada say this morning, I was listening to a lecture, and he was speaking about, he used the term right angle. He used it three times. So, you know, we all took geometry. We know what right angle means. You know, 90 degrees, that's a right angle. This way and then this way. I'm going to share a comment with one devotee that I think his japa will be enhanced if he is more attentive to his posture. So, body posture, and then for the purpose of helping to bring the mind to a position of being alert, because there's, you know, bad posture makes the mind less alert. It's harder to keep to stay alert when your posture is not right. There's this story. Once upon a time, there was a disciple. And the disciple went to his guru and said, "Oh, Guruji, I lost my job." And not only that, I'm having problems with my relationship with my wife. And not only that, my children, they talk back to me. And not only that, I've got this ache and this pain. And not only that, and he went on and on describing, you know, his woes. And while he was speaking, he was like this, "Guruji, please help me. What should I do?" And there was silence for some time. And his spiritual master assumed the same position. He thought, "Oh, my spiritual master is feeling very burdened by my woes." He was silent for some time, shaking his head. And he sat up and said, "It works. You just sit like this and you feel down. It works." Body posture is a good place to start for going to another level of chanting and continuing to stay in that. So, body and mind aligned so that what's behind, so that we can take shelter of Krishna's holy name better, more completely. Namashraya, approaching that stage. And heart. So we had some exercises where specifically we discussed and had some exercises specifically where the act of chanting is then connected to the heart. And if we're out of alignment of what's important to us is different than what our body and mind are doing, or the other way around. To bring things into alignment. so that we can access mercy. Then, so these are things that you can kind of put on a checklist or regularly maintain and keep them nice. Then another is receiving mode. We heard multiple times this phrase, Krishna, please accept me, which sounds like we're asking Krishna to be in a receptive mode. But it's more our heart recognizing Krishna's call. That was what inspired me, particularly for reading that Mathura Brahmana coming before Krishna after receiving Sarup's mercy, and that is eagerness. So this is the receptive mode. Eagerness. Where is Krishna? It's not doing, it's receiving. It's receiving mercy. It's a core part of our Gaudiya Vaishnava theology. To approach those who are the recipients of mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all his associates and appeal to them for their mercy. We find it in the songs of our Vaishnava Acharyas. We find it everywhere. Always praying for the mercy of Rupa Raghunath, I, Krishna Das, right, Chaitanya Charitamrita. And it's not once. Again and again. He's always in that mood of calling for the mercy of Rupa and Raghunath. This is our Gaudiya Vaishnava way. And to go further in chanting, this eagerness to receive descending mercy. And when you will find, as that grows, as you nurture it, it will grow, and as it grows, you can chant non-stop and not even feel the time passing, and using Bhakti Vinod Thakur's term, it's not the counting game. He expressed, I chanted my 1 lakh of names and I'm feeling nothing. Oh, what a counting game. So he's, not that that's what he was experiencing, but that's, he was instructing us. Our business is not just numerical, although numerical strength is important. I'm sure a number of devotees experienced, as did I, the continuing after 16 rounds, 32 rounds, 48 rounds, it's sublime. It's sublime. Numerical strength is very important. But it's not just numerical strength, it's receiving, speaking on this point again, a sustained effort to receive mercy and in that mood serve. Starting with chanting. Then another headline is the service mood. We spoke about chanting by its very essence, its nature. We're calling upon Krishna to give us service. That's the mood. So as that mood grows, awakens and grows, let that mood not depart from the holy name and go over to this service, that service, and the other service, so much so that we abandon the, you know, we break the root or stop nurturing the root. Rather, that very activity of calling upon Krishna for service, we apply that mood of that mood to the whole, carry that with you to the service. Service to the holy name. Not the doership mentality is very strong and it's very tricky. I'll give another example that I was sharing with some devotees some time ago. I'm sitting in class or I'm reading Prabhupada's teachings, and something that is spoken or something that I've read strikes me. Wow, that's right on. That's something that I need to pay attention to. And then, in a flash, we've abandoned the teacher and the teaching. We've abandoned the Prabhupada and his book. And we're over there taking care of something. Not sustaining the connection of where that inspiration came from and what the activity that we're, the next thing that we're doing is carrying forward something that we've received. We just like lose connection with that source we received it from. And what happens? It fizzles. The impetus, the inspiration slips through our fingers like sand. It's gone. And we go, what happened? I was so enthusiastic. So enthusiastic. What happened? And so I'm preempting the question that always comes at the end of retreats and things like this. Oh, Maharaj, how do we sustain? It was so nice and so... But, you know, I know what's going to happen when I leave. Is it's going to go back and it's just going to slip through my fingers. And it's gone. So stay connected with the source that brought, that brings that inspiration. So the application point here is with the holy name. Go into the mood of serving the holy name while chanting, and then while carrying out that service that you've asked for, stay connected to the holy name. And it's not just the holy name, it's here's another close the gap, we were using that phrase, or liminal space, remember that one? Limin meaning threshold between outside and inside, there's a threshold, like, you know, right at the doorway, that's the threshold, and that's called a limen. And this, there's a space between where we are and where we want to be, what we are actually experiencing and what we know. And we to enter into that liminal space, one of the things that we discussed was the measure of faith and shelter that we have in those resources that Krishna sends our way to cross that liminal space. Teachings like Shikshastakam, or teachers, Mahaprabhu and his associates, and our disciplic succession. Deities. The devotees, you know, the resources that Krishna sends. The faith and the shelter that we have in them give us the strength and impetus to take that step into that liminal space. To go the next step of our, in our chanting. And remember those, be acting in our relationship with our deity or Śrīla Prabhupāda's teachings or our teachers, or carry forward, not just the recite the verse, the slokas, and then you're out to lunch next. Just like walk away and nothing happened. Some buzz, but that's about it. Stay in that relationship as you go the next step in approaching the holy name. It's this dialectic. It works both ways. We're becoming awakened in our Krishna consciousness through the chanting of the holy name. And Krishna sends us multiple resources to help us go further. Accept those in relation to Krishna, because they are. And then go further. And each of these unfolding stages of bhakti is like that. Although the richness increases and the detachment increases and the attachment to Krishna increases and consciousness increases, but the principle continues if we're progressive in our Krishna consciousness. In this, under the heading of the serving mood, because we're constitutionally servants, although we're conditioned souls, and conditioned souls like to be served, they don't like to serve. But devotees like to serve. And even we're conditioned, we like to serve, because we're moving in that direction. If we're chanting in the mood of serving, like that exercise, very nice exercise of chanting, fix your mind upon your heart, within your heart see the deity form, and see the features of the deity, that nice, and then invite the deity to come before you. And he's smiling, and he wants to hear your chanting, and you're chanting for his pleasure. Like that. Chant for the pleasure of Krishna. Chant in the mood of service. And carry that sustaining. It doesn't slip through your fingers. I mean, the mood is we may become again covered, but that mood is unforgettable. And it's life-giving. It carries us. There's a nice practical example of this in Vedic culture, and there's a reason why it's there. In Vedic culture, during Krishna's time, the young boys and young girls were married. But they were married when they're, 5 and 6 years old. What does that mean? I don't know what that means. But they're married. So they know, one day this will be my husband, one day that will be my wife. But, the girl stays with her parents and the boy stays with his parents. And on the day of the boy's birthday, the girl's parents make some arrangement, take him something nice. Some nice birthday gift. That's a birthday party, so gives him birthday gift. Something nice to see, something nice to eat, something nice. And he's thinking, oh, she's very nice. And then the next year he's anticipating, maybe she'll bring some. And on her birthday and so on. So it's that what it doesn't have the same meaning as it does in their adult life, but it's love begins with serving. So if we want to come to the stage of love for Krishna, similarly, let us take to the holy name some gift and start with the gift of attentiveness. Simple. and other ways of serving. And those other ways of serving can then take you to attachment and so on, taste and maturing stages of devotion. And that same attachment, even you're doing something else, the attachment then connects to the holy name and that which has brought you that particular kind of service or that particular kind of association or something. But if you don't lose your connection with the holy name is the point. It grows. Even you're doing other things, it grows. Like in, you know, once the young four-year-old boy, girl become adult, they'll be doing other things than what they were doing when they were 4 and 5 years old. But those other things can still carry with it those feelings of love. And same are mature stages of service. Couple of closing remarks on this little session. Because you already did this yesterday, well, you wrote some things down in the evening, in the processing section. So I invite you, this is put something in your wheelbarrow and go home with it. Take something that you found was very valuable. Maybe even you didn't apply it during the 64-round day, but something that you that somehow stands out and resonates, take it with you and work with it. The converse is avoid complacency. Avoid just slipping back into same old, same old. Enter into that going forward space. And carefully cultivate. In the anartha-nivritti stage of devotion, there are many things that we can do to try to overcome our impurities, but the most important of all of them is how we chant the holy name. In fact, anartha nivritti is accomplished through improved chanting. So how carefully we give attention to the quality of our chanting is going to determine how quickly or not we move through unwanted things in our life. Because otherwise, we can just struggle. We know what that's like. We're all very familiar with that. Devi hi esha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya. And that mam eva ye prapadyante, as devotional service begins with hearing and chanting, that prapadyante is with the hearing and chanting process. And then in turn all of the other manifestations of our service. I was having some discussion with Nandakishore and Sri Vrindavan, and they've decided they're going to spend 6 months here with their family and see how it works out. And one of the impetuses for doing that was the consideration, my goodness, there's so much here to do. So much to do. And I can imagine Dhruva and Parijatra saying, yay! There's so much here to do. But let that so much to do, you can take that principle and apply it anywhere. Make the world Krishna conscious. In every town and every village, the chanting of the holy name should be heard, and so many nice instructions. Everyone should receive Srila Prabhupada's literature. Yay, book distribution. Yay, Harinam Sankirtan. Yay, preaching. And yay, farm communities. And there's so much to do. But let us not, as we go forward in our devotional service, make the connection with the holy name so strong that it will go forward. It will go forward in a purified condition, not just the other kind. Let me tell you a little bit about the other kind. Oh, man. So important with this effort that's been made by all of you. I want to thank you for making the effort, coming and giving your association to the other devotees who are sincere and you're sincere, working together to bring that connection with the holy name stronger and take it with you. Put those things in that wheelbarrow and take it home with you and apply and watch that space, that gap, close so that you're at least one step, two steps maybe even three steps closer to Krishna, and watch the reciprocation from Krishna happening. That's the most satisfying. It's not just the taking of the steps, it's the reciprocation with Krishna, this receiving mode. Okay. The 8:30 bell is about to ring. So, we have some time now. I'm not sure how to do this. We have some time for sharing and hearing one another's experiences. It's nice. And it's important. Part of our guyam akyati prichati. It's part of our loving exchanges to share in confidence and to hear. Because this is what is confidential, is what's very dear to the soul, is our relationship with Krishna. And that's most confidential. And sharing like that it'll strengthen loving relationships amongst the devotees. It's part of what a Hare Krishna movement is meant for. So where's, you have any suggestion? Just let's roll. Okay. We have a portable microphone, and we have a person up sitting up here who will call upon those who raise their hand and would like to volunteer to share what your experience was. And keep it, concise, please. Anyone would like to share? Advaita Chandra.
Hare Krishna, thank you very much for the wonderful hearing opportunities. I wanted to share something in a lighter note and also some serious realizations that I had while chanting yesterday. You were kindly sharing with us the experience of one Mataji in the Sharanagati retreat, who went for a japa walk.
Yeah.
And she met this butterfly, reminding me. Well, similar experience happened to me, but in my case, the reminders were not a butterfly, but flies.
A fly.
And there were lots of them.
Lots of them.
We were then too near the cows with them. But I was trying to shoo them away, but they won't leave me. They were with me for a while. And then I realized what you pointed out on Thursday, that look for small indicators from Krishna. And the realization I had was, wow, there's so much anartha still in my heart, deeper and deeper layers. And what I understood from that shooing away exercise was, it's not just going to go away by trying to either run away from the anathas or trying to fight with them in a material way. But it's by the process of chanting. And what I need is patience. And so as I walked past a few more yards, the flies were no longer with me, and they just disappeared. So I understood, okay, chanting is an act of receiving. When I'm in the act of doing, then there is this impatience connected to it, where I want the anathas to go away rather than focusing on the anger. So the realization I had was it must be the act of receiving. Once again, thank you very much for your love and kindness, arranging this retreat, entering, helping me enter into the mystery.
Very nice. What you said is just repeating what the point, this sacred space point. Clean. Krishna will want to come. And as you're cleaning, Krishna, please come. And yeah, however long it takes. Clean. Krishna, please come. And when you're chanting in that mode, you can chant indefinitely. That Krishna, please come desire becomes stronger. It may even at some point become dimmer, but you can chant and chant and chant and chant to be happy. Yes. You going to run around or what are you going to do? Okay. Be ready.
I'm very much indebted to you for taking so much time from your extremely busy schedule. I know what it is. Please let me know, but now I'm showing you this in a different way. I hope I make the best use of all the gifts you have given us. I used to wonder about the prayers of Sri Shastaka. Quite a lot, particularly beyond the third verse. How does it all happen? And I think this time I got a glimpse of that understanding. By a deep wound of humble service to chanting Hare Krishna, those things that are occupying our consciousness, they become very important and significant. I know some situations that I've been dealing with lately. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to say, don't think about it and think about the holy name, but the mind is resistant to present. So if we are the moodle, I am doer, it's impossible to give up that attachment and stickiness of the mind. We just have to let go and depend totally on Krishna's mercy. And yesterday when I was chanting 64 rounds, I can very easily say this is one of my best stretch of rounds I've chanted throughout my life. I let go completely. I just didn't worry about anything. And I feel that I got a glimpse of that fourth verse of success. I'm really grateful for that. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. Anybody on that side of the room would like to volunteer? Okay.
Guru Maharaj, I did not attend most of the classes, but I have the good fortune of attending Sir's class on Saturday afternoon, and I'm very grateful to Sir. You made it very simple for me to chant 64 mantras because I'm sort of speaking of the relationship between chant and the relationship with the devotees. And he said, simply because my spiritual master wants me to chant, I want to chant, and I'll chant attentively. That combined with, at the Festival of the Holy Name, you mentioned, Gopakumar did not want to be ungrateful to his spiritual master by not receiving the fullness of what his spiritual master wanted to bestow upon him. And just in the first few rounds, it struck me that you are the GBC of the you're the chairman of the International GBC, and I got a glimpse of what that's like from your Vyasa Puja offering. For you to take out 5 days to give us this experience is such a big... I felt very grateful for that. And so, first time I felt, I chanted with some gratitude in the heart, and in my relationship with you, of receiving the holy name from you, and being your servant, chanting to please you. Last year at the Japa retreat, you mentioned one mantra at a time, and that has been very helpful for this 1 year, but it's been very mechanical. Yesterday, for the first time, there were feelings.
Die!
I also wanted to share Krishna, please accept me, is the song that we're hearing from the Sister Memorial Day weekend. But when I heard the recording of your fast from yesterday morning, with the, you described the birds with outstretched necks, wingless birds, depending on the mother you feed them, that's when Krishna is accepting you, really came to life for me. And when I would chant in that mood, the words of Krishna to the Mata Brahmana would just echo to me. I've always looked toward the path by which you would come. So I felt Krishna's acceptance. And lastly, I want to share that Anandamila Mataji at the Festival of the Holy Name had shared during the realization's time that in spite of volumes of inattentive chanting, the eagerness from the other side to give is always there. And I felt so grateful because this year has been such a slump for me, I feel, making so many offenses and just being so inattentive. And yet, I had the best chanting experience yesterday. So merciful are our Lama than yourself. So thank you so much, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. I just got inspired. I'll gather that picture. It was Nandasuta's daughter, Aditi, who provided the picture. So I'll take the picture, send it to... Who do I send it to? Rasika Manjari? She has everybody's email? Does anybody else have it? She's not here. Oh, you're here! Do you have everyone that attended, you have their email address? So I'll send it to you. You can send it out. It's a good one. It's inspirational. Okay. Anyone else from over there? Yes, okay.
Thank you, Shreya. First of all, I want to thank you for giving us this opportunity to be at the retreat. On the bus and the retreat, you were speaking about children, and you were sharing with us that in most of the Japa retreats, children are not allowed. And I had that feeling all the time when we came here that it's such an opportunity and blessing for us to be allowed to be in the retreat with children. We have to wait for them to grow up to be a part of that experience. And I was feeling very grateful for those Matajis who arranged for a kids program. And it gave so much support for me to be present in the retreat and to receive and have an experience of the devotees. And then in the first year of the lecture, we were talking about being receptive. respect to Krishna's indicators. And it's somehow so happened that Krishna so mercifully arranged some things, like just before coming to this retreat, 1 month before, I came across a small bird, the baby bird, which you mentioned yesterday, and it was a very experiential thing for me, because somehow that bird landed on the deck in your Petrarch visit last week. There was a small baby bird that landed on the deck of that house, and she didn't have wings, and she was somehow landed there in very helpless condition. And all the kids were chanting and making some arrangements for that bird to survive and feeding, but nothing was working out. And those kids, they kept that bird in a bowl, a disposable bowl with some grass. And that was lying on that. And I came across that, and somebody would ask me that, do you know, can we do something to help her out? And we tried all the things and nothing was working. And I was just holding that bird in my hand and I was chanting. And those 2 rounds, I chanted 2 rounds holding that bird in my hand. And I didn't know whether I was giving that bird something or that bird was giving me something, that how to chant. And that became my experience in meditation for the last 1.5 months, keeping that bird in my hand and chanting. And the second thing happened was that I took Prinda to the cow barn for the milking activity, and I had the experience for the first time seeing the cow with the mother and the eagerness and the focus. And then tomorrow morning in the class you mentioned all those 2 experiences. By Krishna's mercy, I was able to have the great sense of what it means to have that kind of eagerness and that kind of longing. And I was very, when you were speaking about those 2 experiences in the class, I was feeling very grateful for Krishna to give me that kind of experience of those 2 examples. And I was holding that same example in my hand with that same bird, and was trying to focus on my chanting. And I was feeling so helpless to come in that position of helplessness, and it was not happening. But then another thing that was coming was like, I was feeling so much connection with that helpless bird, and same as you mentioned yesterday, that in the state of sadhana bhakti, that's our position, that without mercy we won't survive. And so I was like feeling so much of connection with that bird, and but at the same time I was feeling that there is so much of hope for me to survive, because I have the shelter of Guru and Krishna and of all the Vaishnavas and all that. So I was again, it was a very sheltered feeling, and although I was not able to reach to that feeling of helplessness, I was not feeling hopeless.
Very nice. That's another mercy. There's 36 flavors. And we don't always select them. Mercy comes as Krishna wants to send it. Okay, over on this side.
Thank you very much, Maharaj, for sharing so much mercy. One thing that really helped me here is a prayer and an actual meaning of please accept me. I was able to distinguish the causeless mercy. Previously I was in this place like, I have done so many sacrifices, you please accept me. But then now I felt what it actually meant, like, please accept me by giving your mercy. I'm not qualified. And then the other one is, I'm always there for you. Those 2 things in the prayer, and they came in a sequence, like when Pandari Mandari was in Thailand.
Yeah.
And I was praying for those, I'm like, I'm just 2 minds. And then with this distinguish the meaning, and that stayed with me for most of the time. And but in the when I was chanting in with that prayer, like I was able to chant better. But then, like how my anathas were tricking me, it's like sometimes they were crossing me directly where I can recognize of and I was able to push them. But then like some of them were started flowing with my chanting parallel and then started merging.
And the dance began.
that took a lot of time to grow. So then recognizing and then cleansing for a lot of street, like, no, I don't want to be there. I don't want to go there again. And so this struggle, like, because it was difficult.
When there's shelter, then we have strength beyond our own strength. And there's a happiness beyond, like, you know, yay, I did it. It's a whole other experience. Okay. Someone else? I was hoping that you would share, because That Sharanagati sharing you did, that was very fascinating.
Well, this is the second time I've done this, and this time was easy is the wrong word. I'll just say it didn't like flatten me. But the things that, one of the things that was, I'm trying to be brief, was interesting was being with other devotees. I was having a hard time settling down. I just couldn't sit still. I just was squirming. And I went outside, and Denise was on me and kind of motioned myself for a walk. And I realized in my chanting, I was like, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I was like, come on, Krishna, come on, I gotta get this done. And then when I went with Denise, she was like, hey, Krishna. And I could literally feel my own energy just kind of like cool out. You know? It was like, it's no problem, hey, it's in Krishna. And it made the rest of the day just so much better. You know, and I really realized how much more space there is for me to relax, to hang out with Krishna. I mean, so that was really fascinating. And one other thing I wanted to share was I feel like I learned a lot about intentional, like being, I constantly call things into my experience and call thoughts and allow thoughts into my experience and things all the time. But here in this moment when I chant Hare Krishna, I'm intentionally inviting something wonderful into my life. And that's really kind of me. To be so intentional, like, and know that it's going to be good.
You completed 64 rounds?
Yeah.
What time was it when you completed 64
rounds? 7 o'clock.
Okay. Very different than your Sharanagati.
So thank you very much, and thank you to all the devotees very much.
How many devotees here completed 64 rounds? Ooh, awesome. Okay. Okay. Someone else?
Thank you so much for the Sadhu Shri and the devotees in the temple chanting. I'm so grateful for those mantras who took care of my children. That helped me a lot focusing on my chanting, otherwise, I would be worrying about them. So, yesterday I really wanted to focus on quality, not the quantity. I always focus on quantity, like I want to finish the 64. But somehow Krishna's mercy, I wanted to focus on quality. So, like all the devotees were sharing the mercy, like you also said that we have to look, you know, recognize how Krishna is reciprocating and receive the mercy. I was realizing in the morning, like even though I didn't keep any alarm, so I was able to get up by 3 o'clock. That was really, I was grateful for Krishna, that I was feeling that mercy. Then I started in first 2-3 sets were like not so good. I was trying, and I was meditating on that example you told me, that birds and the small baby birds and mother, how they always wait for their mother to feed them. That example was really stuck me. Like I was really meditating, that's how I should chant for Krishna. That example was really keeping me moving on chanting. And the fourth set, when I started first 5 rounds, I was able to chant so nicely, with so much feeling, that I felt that I'm calling Krishna as a person, and I want to call him by chanting the holy names. I was feeling that the first time I had this feeling. I always used to think that other devotees, they tell about chanting so nice and all that. I really yesterday felt that all my chanting was so mechanical. I never experienced that feeling of happiness and joy while chanting. That I was able experience yesterday, in my last 4 or 5 rounds, I was really wanting to chant more and more, and I was not feeling any body pains at all. I was trying to, usually I can't sit more than an hour, like, steadily. I have to keep changing my pose and all. So I really felt the mercy and the things that were helping me, your instructions and your encouragement for us to chant attentively. That was really amazing.
What about the last 11?
Again, we had to go for prasadam. So, I went and I was in that mood. I wanted to really finish, but I went and came back. Then it was not so good as before, but I was able to stay in that mood. And after that, kids came, they were talking, and all these things happened. And one more thing, I was realizing that my like you, yesterday was Mama Vrata. I was able to control my mouth, not to talk much, but I have to talk with kids.
Yeah, sure, sure.
So I was realizing mind is very difficult to control. So more the things become subtle, it becomes difficult to control. And I was really recognizing how my mind is going here and there yesterday, those 64 rounds. Usually I think I have been chanting with those things, not recognizing that, stopping, bringing my mind back. And even though I was trying, it wasn't happening. Yesterday I could really bring back my mind and recognize where it is going. And the things are very, very, like, so crazy I felt. Mine is very crazy.
That's a good comparison.
So I'm very grateful for this opportunity, and it's the energy of yogis in the temple. It's really amazing. It gave me so much inspiration to chant and be in the mood of service for chanting. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. I'd like to hear from some of the younger devotees. I see more girls than boys for some reason. Any of the girls would like to share? Should I just call on you, Ramya, and ask you to share? Neha, you're next. Okay.
Krishna Maharaj, thank you very much for the opportunity to worship the Krishna retreat. This is my second time, and one thing that really stuck out, I'll be honest, I couldn't do 64. I was really, in the morning, I was, in this temple, the one thing that stuck out in your lecture that I really liked was one month at a time and helping focus. Usually I tend to go ahead and be able to just chant and just go to the next and there finish in church and be super. But this time I was just trying to concentrate, and another thing that you said was, just take a risk, that kind of, I was just thinking, let me at least, usually just my rounds. But this time I was thinking, let me at least try, I've been Krishna's doing me so much, so many things, so many opportunities. At least let me just be a little grateful and try it. So I was trying to sit straight, and usually closing my eyes is I feel really awkward closing my eyes. But I was thinking that yesterday I was trying to close my eyes. That really helped me because I wasn't distracted. Because when I closed my eyes, I couldn't really see anything, so I wasn't distracted.
Logical.
So, and I was just trying to concentrate, just hearing one month at a time. And I was really praying out to Krishna to please accept me. Even though, I couldn't really, I'm not at that stage, to really feel that full helplessness. But I know that I can feel that, me doing anything, I can't control my mind with my, my own ability. Because, you know, I want it, like, I'm not just, like, sitting in one place. So, I, like, really want to get up, but then, like, at one point in time, like, I made it a point, you know, please let me just do, like, you know, 6-8 rounds, which is, like, a certain number of rounds, just, like, at one position, you know, like, I don't want to get up all the time. So I just, like, I really pray to Krishna, please, like, help me. Because, you know, if I didn't do it, I couldn't do it.
Very nice.
Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. We helped pass the microphone over to Neha, who didn't volunteer, but I'm volunteering her. You can compare your experience of the two, if you like. Did you get to complete 64? What time did you complete 64?
2.
2? At 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you had completed 64 rounds. Okay.
So, when I was chanting, I was so extremely distracted and extremely restless. I just couldn't sit in one spot. And I tried closing my eyes and I was just so distracted by other things. It was very, very difficult for me to chant yesterday. And the first 4 rounds were very nice because I was in that mood. Krishna, I'm yours. And then after that, that was right before Mangalarti, and then after that, it just went down.
Till the very end, right through to the very end.
Yes, yeah, it was huge.
So how are you processing, it's down, I want it to be up. What were you doing? What was happening internally?
It just made me realize that I'm not the doer. Like, no matter how hard I try, I'm not gonna get that taste just with my own strength. It's gotta be, I have to call for Krishna's mercy. I was trying to do it on my own, and that wasn't happening, so.
That's a nice lesson.
Mm-hmm. So I've never heard that so many times from you, but I've never really.
Okay. But experientially, you know, that's a nice lesson, besides just from hearing it. Okay, we'll take a few more. Okay, these two. One more from the men's side, someone can get ready. Govinda Priya.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj, this program of the chanting by holy name. Everything is perfect. And the 64 months yesterday, my experience is my heart very happy, crying, and my heart, my mind connection. And today, my mind is strong, my heart is strong, my body is strong.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good. You were concentrating very strongly yesterday. She wasn't restless. She just sat in one place. Very, very concentrated. Okay, over here by the door. Raise your hand so he knows.
Thank you, Maharaj, for giving me the opportunity to attend the Japan retreat.
Thank the ladies who took care of the kids during the part of the day, right?
Sorry.
Those who were engaging the children during the day.
Yes, Maharaj. Thank you very much for all the marriages who took care of the children so that they reach out in the temple room. And this is the first time I chanted 64 rounds. And I mean, like, day before yesterday, I thought maybe I cannot complete 64 rounds, but I never thought that I would complete 64 rounds because of the kids and other things going on. So it's only because of your mercy and Radha Damodar's mercy that I could really chant and complete the rounds. And whatever I chanted in the temple room was really very nice. I was able to focus, and Premendra Agni Mataji's exercise helped me a lot, where I could invite Krishna in front of me and seeing his, looking at his features, and looking at him smiling at me, it really helped me a lot. Also, the prayer, please accept me with two hands raising for him, it really helped me a lot. It was a very wonderful experience chanting here in the temple room. Although, I mean, I went out to look at my children in the park. It was not, I mean, there were a lot of distractions. I tried to pull my mind, and it was a struggle there. But in the temple room, it was really wonderful because of the mercy of all the devotees. And just seeing them chanting gave me a lot of energy, and I was able to focus a lot.
Thank you
very much for this mercy. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Hearing all this thing about the children, one thought I'm having is, from time to time we hear devotees say, Prabhupada never had these japa retreats. You know, where did this come from? We said, you know. But the devotees here have never had what Prabhupada gave us, you know, life in a temple. You've never had the experience of living in a temple. And all of the scriptural training and regulation and sadhana together and coming together like this for a number of days is, it's not just the first time chanting 64 rounds, it's the first time. You know, for some persons, just, you know, chanting japa together with another group of devotees in the temple room. What to speak of for a number of days in a row. What to speak of where your children are occupied. So it's an important facility. I think we're very indebted to the Gita Nagari residents for providing this facility. I'll share this thing also. I was discussing with Purusha Sukta about having, other than an ISKCON center, as a venue for a japa retreat. And his opinion was, following what Satchinanda Swami had done for so long, that it needs to be someplace away from a temple setting, because in a temple setting there's this and that and the other thing going on, and what you need for a japa retreat is none of that going on. You just, like, go completely away. And not only that, no kids, because it's distracting. So, you know, that I said, okay, you do that, I'll do this. And you know, not like we're competing, but it's, you're offering that facility, I'll offer this facility. And I feel it's, they're both certainly have their place, but for a larger group of people, to take this many days out, for those of you that are working, that's major. And, you know, there's been some thought in my mind, maybe we should reduce the number of days, because maybe it's just too difficult for people to take 5 days. Being honest, it's Thursday evening, And then, you know, today by midday we're roaring out of here, going back. So it's not really 5 days. But it's you know, it takes time to get here and takes time to go. So my thought is, I'm just sharing my thoughts. My thought is, excluding children, what's that? Inviting children, then you have disturbance. So then how to direct that energy so it's productive as far as possible through guided spiritual training for the children. And, you know, they're going to look forward to, I want to go back next year. I was watching the children interact, and I think that's how they feel. But the atmosphere with Radha Damodar, I deliberately shared the history. There's rich history of, and I was thinking another detail. It wasn't when the 55th Street Temple was sold, it was when the Radha Govinda moved from Brooklyn to Manhattan. What happened was then this Vyasa son came to Gita Nagari, and another Vyasa son was made for Prabhupada in Manhattan, which is now the temple, the Vyasa son that's in Brooklyn. But, you know, there's rich history, and it's a beautiful setting, and Radha Damodar, the cows, and, you know, a place where children can also learn and experience Krishna consciousness, and the kirtans in the evening, and the setting is just fantastic. So I'm formally expressing my gratitude to the Gita Nagari residents for hosting us. I could say putting up with us, but, you know, inviting us to come invade your space and make the kitchen dirty and playground to mess, and but, you know, bring some spiritual energy to the project, and have us appreciate it's not just a retreat center. This is a farm community that has its purpose. We're grateful for your hosting us, and I think we'll end. And we're a little bit ahead of schedule, but we'll probably need that time. I don't know if breakfast is ready or not because of the weather. I don't know if we're going to be outside or not. So I guess mosey on over to the prasadam area and see what happens. Maybe we'll be inside. There's some announcements. Okay. You have something?
After you.
You have an announcement too. We have the microphone. Where is... Back to Mike. Okay. Okay.
Hare Krishna, brothers and sisters. So there's another announcement we want to break first. It says we'll have a very light breakfast prasadam at 9:30 and a lunch feast after the wedding at 1:30 p.m.
Big feast.
Big feast. And for anyone who needs to pick up prasadam for the travel, they can get packets and prasadam while it's ready. Now, I don't know whether the breakfast is going to be served outside or inside. I can quickly check and let you know.
Hare Krishna. Now begin the proceedings for the wedding. It's going to be a wedding initiation ceremony. The yagya itself will start at 11 with Maharaj's lecture. There are some purva karmas that have to be done before the yagya. So that will begin at 9:30 in the temple room. Those of you who want to participate, you're welcome to do so. It's mainly for the wedding, those who are going to be wedded. There are presents, and if you really want to attend, my only request is gather inside or outside. Don't do this program a little inside or outside. This is going to require some concentration for me. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Shri Shri Radha Damodar Ki Jai.
prasadam will be served outside. Just quickly, sorry, I just want to, I guess, say thank you to all of you for coming, giving us, you know, your association. Of course, it's very, very nice to have all of you here. We look forward to now 2 times a year. There's so many wonderful devotees coming, teaching us so many things. You guys are definitely very exemplary. Thank you too much for organizing this meeting. We are very, very grateful. Very, very grateful to all of you. And yeah, so many exciting projects happening in Vijayanagar. Maharaj is helping facilitate so many things. I think there's some things on the website. One very nice project that we're looking forward to doing, I think some of you may be familiar, is the project we're doing with Green Institute, where very soon we'll be producing a biofuel, or biodiesel for that matter. So somehow, by some great mercy, some great fortune, we've been in contact with an organization called VAD, and they have formed a non-profit organization called the Green Institute, who we're working with to do this project. Of course, there's one devotee, Sukhada Prabhu, who's with us here today. He's very, very instrumental. He's the chairman of God, that has been very instrumental in orchestrating this project and helping facilitate it now in that way. So, in the next few months, definitely some significant developments will be made in line with that, and hopefully later this year, towards the beginning of the year, we'll start with construction. You want to say something? Yeah, so you know, some exciting things definitely happening in Vijayanagar, more renovations to come. So many exciting things are happening. So thank you all very, very much for coming.